Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, what if I told you there's a book out there on the newsstands called There's No F in Sales. No F in Sales. It's a book that says there's no sales. Why would you buy that? Why? Well, maybe the guy that wrote it can tell us why. His name is Simon Leslie. He's CEO of Inc. Global. I've known him for a good long time. He has survived and thrived for 25 years building a successful business in the travel media space. You know, those magazines in the seat back pocket. He's the guy. He works with a lot of different airlines. And he's just released this new book, There's No F in Sales. And he's right, there is no F in the letter sales. We're going to find out why he named it that. But the book talks about the challenges of staying in business, dealing with staff and growth, maybe when there's no F in sales. Simon, how you doing, buddy? Simon Leslie on the line.
I'm doing great. It's good to be on with you again.
Where am I speaking to you? You're somewhere like in England. Where are you?
I'm in Southampton, which is on the south coast of Great Britain. I've got a boot camp with 65 salespeople.
Awesome. Going on today. Well, there you go.
I'm on my mission to make them better.
Well, that is a beautiful thing. That's what we all need is help. And hopefully you can give us some today. Why the name No F in Sales? And I know you have to say it kind of fast because on the cover of the book, there's a big F. Is that because somebody got an F in sales as their grade, or there's just it business is bad and there's no F in sales and maybe it's your fault? What is the premise of the book?
I got lots of Fs at school, and that was one of the challenges with my early career. You know, the hardest part of that selling is obviously the sales process. And most things, we get more no's than we get yeses, and there aren't many sales. And it's, I guess, 25 years of dealing with days when there wasn't very many sales, dealing with the challenges of, you know, a growing business, a startup business. I mean, I've got a business which is a 25-year-old startup.
Right.
Every day we feel like we're starting all over again. It's a bit Groundhog Day-ish because every day we've got to start again and find more advertisers. And, you know, this thing called the interweb came along and decided to try and, you know, tell us that the end was nigh for magazines. And, you know, we really had to work hard to prove them and all the critics wrong that there was no longevity in magazines any longer.
Well, but you're in a unique situation. Listen, I travel literally every week. My guess is for the last, I'm going to say 25 years, about the same time you've been running Inc. Global, I'm traveling every week on an airplane. And the only thing there after I've done chewing my fingernails and, you know, thinking of everything I could possibly think about and drinking the horrible coffee or, you know, possibly an adult drink to try and ease the pain. The only thing left is the magazine right in front of me. I might as well thumb through it. You have that unique opportunity to have a captive audience, which, you know, I'm glad you haven't given up because I was just reading one a couple days ago thinking, Simon, thank you, because I was so bored, you know. So, yeah, I don't think it's dead. You know, I think the rest of the world is dealing with it a whole lot worse than you are at Inc. Global in the seat backs of airplanes.
You articulate it far better than I do sometimes. You know, it's not just working. We're about to have probably the best year of our lives.
Wow.
You know, we've got advertisers coming back to us who we haven't seen for a decade, who spent all their money. You know, I'm not anti-digital. I believe in digital. I think they coexist lovely together. The challenge is people were spending too much money tracking data, and data's become part of the problem. You know, it's become the tail wagging the dog rather than the dog wagging the tail.
Right.
You know, every bit of judgment was based on data. Well, if you only based your judgment based on data, you don't actually need any judgment. You know, that's not how you make decisions. And, you know, every day, six different people are sitting in that seat that you sat in. They're flicking through the magazines. And especially, you know, for your audience, for small businesses, growing businesses, fast-growing businesses, you know, they're spending so much money to reach an audience, and I've got 100 million people every month looking through that magazine just like you did.
Right.
And, you know, being inspired.
All right, hold tight.
It's also knowing what you didn't know you needed to know.
Well, now, I love
that's
what you said.
Really inspire people.
I love what you said about data. If all you do is mine data and make your decisions based on data, then your judgment isn't really that important anymore. It's just data-driven. Hold tight. We're going to talk about There's No F in Sales, the new book by Simon Leslie, CEO of Inc. Global. Inc., INK-Global.com, if you want to see what he does. Longtime friend, this is Entrepreneur Weekly.
Tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
This is Sugar Ray. It's called Fly. We're talking to my friend who is the guy that puts the magazines in the seat back pocket in all just about all the airplanes that are flying. He says, I don't know, some 100 million a month or something. Simon Leslie, and you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. If you're an entrepreneur and you have no F in sales, that's the name of his book. There's No F in Sales. And just having a good conversation about how the world keeps changing. And as a matter of fact, as it became so digital and digitized, the magazine industry started falling apart, magazines shuttering left and right. And Simon Leslie at Inc. Global says he's having the best year of his company's history. Why is that? If there was no F in sales, no F in sales, if I say it fast, how did you change things? What did you do? I mean, did you reinvent the company or did you just hang tough through it till people started using common sense again that, hey, people sitting in seats, nothing better to do. Maybe they'll pick up the magazine. They probably are. And maybe it was a sales person or an advertising buyer that was sitting there on an airplane going, geez, I got to put some ads in this thing. This is, I'm going to have you continue. How did you reinvent yourself or did you, Simon?
We worked hard. We had to go out there and work harder. And that's why, you know, there were some days that we didn't suddenly think and we did get frustrated. We brought in so many new brands, that never used, we never advertised a lot of them, and we brought them into the sector and we turned them into success stories and we used their success stories to bring in more and more brands from similar sectors. And that's what we did. We didn't rely on the big, you know, fast moving consumer groups. We didn't rely on the advertising agencies who were all obsessed with, you know, spending huge amounts of money on other media. And slowly but surely, they started to come back. And the reason they came back and the reason they stuck is they were getting fantastic responses. They were getting responses that they'd forgotten existed before, you know, because this never went away. There was always these people sitting on airplanes flicking through magazines. It's just they went off to do what was new and shiny. And sometimes people forget what was old and experienced and wonderful and inspiring. They want to do the new shiny thing, and the new shiny thing has suddenly become very expensive.
Right. Well, you know, I think that there's been a huge learning curve for a lot of people in the across the entire world, but I was going to say in the magazine industry. And it's so sad to see magazines shutter that we loved so much. And you go to the website, and the website doesn't really do the same thing for you that the magazine did. There's something about holding a magazine in your hands that, I mean, I you can't replace that. Now, I get it that having a website is a tremendous...
Let me ask you a simple question.
Yeah.
Would you rather be on the front cover of Entrepreneur.com or on the front page of Entrepreneur.com?
Well, I would say for me...
On the front cover of Entrepreneur magazine.
For me, I would rather be on the front cover of the magazine for so many reasons. I don't know whether it's my age because I made the cover of the magazine, right? The website, yeah. You know, the web world is so vast. It's like plankton in the sea. It's just so vast. But a magazine is something that's tangible. You can frame it. You put it on the wall. I mean, best you can do is print out the screenshot of your website stuff. You know, I get it. I get it. I like the magazine.
And people want to be on our front covers. They want to be in the pages of the magazine. They know that when they've been in, the phone starts to ring. a friend of mine had a book the other week, and he said to me, I had people from the top levels of FIFA saw the article in the magazine and rang to congratulate me. And I think that's the power of the magazine, that you're getting to people that you can't reach normally through normal channels.
I agree.
You know,
I
they're
agree.
Sitting there and they're reading the magazines and they're getting excited by them.
All right, so here's what I think. I think what I have watched and observed over the last decade of my life is that it takes all formats, transmedia, you know, all things working together to tell one unified story. If I like your magazine, I want to go to your website. If I like your website, I want to listen to your radio show. Vice versa. If I like this radio show, I'm going to go to the website and the magazine. We're going to come back and talk more with Simon Leslie. We're going to find out now. He's going to be the professor. There's no F in sales. What do we do? That's his book. This is Entrepreneur Weekly.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
All the way from England, Simon Leslie, CEO of Inc. Global, author of the book, There's No F in Sales. Say it fast, there's no F in sales. If there's no F in sales in your business, maybe you need to be a part of Simon Leslie's boot camp that he's putting on right now in England. We're going to insert ourselves into that. And Simon, you get to hopefully help teach some of the audience here across some 30, 40 radio stations, whatever it is, and our worldwide podcast network. But first, there's no F in sales. Why that name for the book?
I was sitting with one of the many coaches I had, and he said to me, I'm going to write a book about leadership, and there's no F in leadership. And I said, well, I'm going to write a book about there's no F in sales. So that's where it came from. And I think the frustration that most salespeople have is that they don't sell, and they have what's called a blank day or a blank week or a blank month. And what I'm doing with the book is giving people answers to some of the questions they're going to ask themselves. You know, they're dealing with the demons, dealing with the challenges, dealing with, you know, what happens when you do well, what happens when you do badly, what happens if you knock it out of the park one month and then the next month it's dry as a bone. So all the different things that I've been through, all the challenges I've been through of growing a business, working with salespeople, motivating them, inspiring them, helping them, and how I uncover all the challenges that that brings. And I guarantee that will be something in that book, one nugget that will answer somebody's challenge that they've got today.
All right. So
I think the most important thing I want to say about the book is every penny of profit is going to charity. So it's not a commercial exercise for me. It's a charitable exercise to raise more money for charity.
Fantastic. Well, that's an important thing there, actually. That's good. Thank you for that. That's a game changer right there. So put us in the boot camp today. Give us like three nuggets to take away when there's no F in sales. By the way, I wanted to say, I remembered something. Just, I think, you know, so many salespeople these days think that all they have to do is take orders, but that's not a salesperson. That's an order taker. If you're a salesperson, you got to do more than just sit back and wait for people to come and give you orders. You got to go out and make something happen. All right, continue on. Give me three nuggets.
Most people, when they get an objection, it takes seven no's to get a yes. 90% of salespeople give up at five. So, you know, if you want to survive, you've got to persist. You've got to persist. You know, most CMOs only last 8 months. That's a fact, which means that, you know, whoever you're talking to probably won't be in the job in a couple of months' time. So, you know, there's no getting up. There isn't a day that you can't stop chasing. Because if you don't believe 100% in what you're selling, in the product you've got, if you're not passionate about it, you shouldn't be selling it. And that way, if you have that instilled belief in your product, every day you should be just excited and enthused to go out and talk about it.
All right. There's seven no's to get to a yes. Hold on. I'm just loving this one. There's no giving up, and you must believe in what you're selling. Go ahead.
Not just believe. You've got to, with every ounce of your being, you've got to believe and love what you sell. Because if you don't, you shouldn't be selling it.
That's right.
There's nothing you should be doing unless you have a passion for what you're doing.
That's right. All right. Give me two more.
And it's about perspective. You know, one of the biggest challenges most people have, and this, you know, this is very prevalent in sales, but it's also in life, is perspective. You know, people look at things and say, they'll look at Facebook and say, no one's liking the picture. They'll look at, you know, the car the neighbor's got next door, he's got a nicer car, and Johnny's gone on a nicer holiday than me. And they really do get frustrated by what they don't have and don't celebrate enough what they do have and how lucky they are. You know, everything we have right now today is a miracle. I see everything as a miracle. I see everything as an opportunity, and I see everything as a positive. And having that outlook and that perspective on life, it just turns the bad days into good days.
All right, I got about a minute and a half. That one is have the right perspective, and that to me is gratitude. Give me that third nugget.
And it's persistence. You know, do not stop. Whatever it takes. Now, there are people who go out there and talk about working so hard and, you know, burning the candle at both ends. I don't believe in that. I believe you need time to think, to rethink, to rebalance, to recharge. You're like a fast car, and you cannot drive it at 150 miles an hour for a week. You have to keep taking it in, servicing it. You've got to look after yourself. You've got to make sure that you give yourself and your body, and not just up to your neck. You know, a lot of people spend so much time in the gym exercising and do nothing with their brain. They have to read. They have to learn. They have to inspire themselves. And they've got to look after themselves.
Love it.
One of my favorite quotes is, it's okay not to be okay.
There you go.
And that's part of what I live by. You know, it's not always okay. It is tough. It is difficult. It is challenging. There's no effing sales most days. And it's all right. And if you can live through that, and you can live with all those, with a decent perspective, with persistence not to give up and get down too much. Don't get too excited when you do well, but don't get sad when you go and do something right.
All right, here are the three nuggets. Take seven no's to get one yes. There is no giving up. You must believe in what you're doing with all of what you have inside. You have to have the right perspective, and that would be gratitude. And then the last one is persistence. Never give up, but don't forget to take time to recharge. Check out his book. There's no F in sales. No F in sales. You can find it at ink-global.com, ink with a K, inkglobal.com, Simon Leslie. Thank you, brother. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. And I hope we've given somebody that nugget. And let's try and raise as much money for charity as we can.
There you go. There's no F in sales on newsstands and at inkglobal.com. Next time you pick up a magazine in the back of a seat of an airplane, it might have just been one of Simon Leslie's books. We'll be right back. It is Entrepreneur Weekly.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, our next guest is going to help us pay attention. Because if we control our time and our attention by understanding the psychology of distraction, we can be more productive. I agree with that. I think that, you know, I mean, if you think back to when you were in high school, guys, every cute girl in the class was a distraction. Did I hear anything the teacher said? No. And of course, if you remember the cartoons of the, you know, the dog and the squirrel ran by the dog, go squirrel. And, you know, that was the end of it. You know, something shiny. So how do we keep ourselves from being distracted? This guy has got the most interesting name I've ever heard. His name is Near, N-I-R, his last name, I-L, E-Y-A-L, nearandfar.com, N-I-R, andfar.com. This man, by the way, I will tell you, he's lectured at Stanford's Graduate School of Business and the Hasso Plattner Institute of Design at Stanford. His first book, Hooked, How to Build Habit-Forming Products, is an international bestseller and taught Silicon Valley how to design behavior. So his next book, Indistractable, because we were talking about distractions, Indistractable, How to Control Your Attention and Choose Your Life. So Neer. Hi there.
Hi. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So first of all, I always like to find out a little bit about the person. What was it in your life that made you have that aha moment that you've got to write this book? Now, the other one I think is great, the Hooked, How to Build Habit-Forming Products. That's cool all by itself. But this one, this is a whole different animal. Where were you if you could try to remember when you went, my God, I've got to write a book about this, because this is a big deal.
Yeah. I'll tell you exactly where I was. I was with my daughter, and we had an afternoon together, and we had this book of activities that daddies and daughters could do together. And one of the activities in the book, I'll remember verbatim what the activity was. The prompt was to ask each other, if you could have any superpower, what superpower would you want? And I know that my daughter started answering the question, but I can't tell you her answer because in that moment, I got distracted. I was started doing something on my device, looking at an email, something from work, something on social media, and I didn't hear what she said.
Oh, no.
And I looked up from my screen, and the next thing I knew, she was gone.
Oh, no.
And so that's when I knew I had to do something about this. In fact, I remember I told someone this story, and he asked his daughter the same question. And she told him, get this, she said, I want the power to talk to animals. And he said, why do you want the power to talk to animals? And she said, so that when you and mommy are on your phones, I'll have someone to talk to.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh! Right? So that killed me. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, that wasn't the only time it happened. It happened on multiple occasions, not only with my daughter. It happened at work. I'd sit down to write. And I'd say, okay, I'm going to get down to that big project I've been working on. I've got to work on this thing. Okay, I'm going to crank it out. Right after I just check those emails, or right after I go on that Slack channel, or right after I do this bit of research. And I kept procrastinating. I kept delaying what I know I needed to do day after day after day. And I said, this is crazy. I got to figure this out. So I started doing some research, and I figured out this was not a new problem. That in fact, Socrates and Aristotle 2,500 years ago talked about this very same problem. They called it akklesia, the tendency to do things against our better interest. And so I wanted to dive into this problem. And originally, I thought the problem was technology, because that's what all the experts say. The books out there tell you technology is hijacking your brain and it's addictive and it's doing this and it's doing that. And so I followed that line of thinking and I got myself a feature phone, you know, the kind without internet access, without apps. And then I also bought myself a word processor from the 1990s that I found on eBay. And I said, okay, if technology is the problem, great. Now I'm going to focus. Now I'm going to do what I want to do. And I still got distracted. I would look at my bookshelf and say, oh, there's that book I've been meaning to check out. Or, oh, there's my desk needs cleaning. Or let me just take out the trash real quick. And I kept getting distracted. And so what I learned in this five-year journey of trying to figure out how to do what it is I say I'm going to do, that the real cause of distraction is much deeper than our technology. That if people have been struggling with distraction for at least the past 2,500 years, there's something else going on. There's a deeper reason why we keep going off track. And so I thought to myself, man, the superpower that I would want if I had to answer my daughter's question would be the power to be indistractable.
Mm. Man, I love that. So your superpower is Mr. Indistractable Man.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting? So since I've written this book, folks are like, oh, well, you just have a lot of willpower, a lot of self-control. And that's what people who don't know me say, because the fact is I have always struggled with self-control. I used to be clinically obese at one point in my life, and I've always struggled with why don't I do what I say I'm going to do? And it's never been a knowledge gap. And for most people, what we find is they know what to do. We all basically know, hey, if you want to be great at your job, you got to do the work, right? If you want to have good relationships, you got to be fully present with people. If you want to be healthy and exercise more, you got to go do the workouts, right? You got to do what you know you should do. Why don't we do it? Why is it so hard to do the things we know we should do? And the reason is distraction.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'll agree with that. And lack of self-control, because we are so easily distracted that we have dumbed ourselves down to where we just keep going after that squirrel or that shiny object, like fish, or, you know, when you throw a lure out, we're lured away so easily because our self-control has been dumbed down to where we are just, unfortunately, almost like puppets being, you know, every lure that goes by, it's like shiny object, you know, squirrel. So how do you help us then with this new book you have, Indistractable, How to Control Your Attention and Choose Your Life?
Well, so the first thing is to define what is distraction. What are we talking about when we use this term distraction? And so to understand what distraction is, we have to understand what it is not. So the opposite of distraction is not focus. The opposite of distraction is traction. Traction and distraction both come from the same Latin root, trahere, which means to pull, and they both end in the same five letters, A-C-T-I-O-N, that spells action. So traction is any action that pulls you towards what you want to do, things that you do with intent. The opposite of traction is distraction, any action you take that pulls you away from what you want to do. So we got traction, we got distraction. Now, what prompts us towards traction or distraction are only two things: external triggers or internal triggers. External triggers are the pings, dings, rings, all of these things in our environment that move us to either traction or distraction. So if you get a notification on your phone that says, hey, it's time for that meeting, it's time to go to the gym, whatever it might be, and that's what you plan to do, that's terrific. It's moving you towards traction. But if you get a notification on your phone while you're with your daughter and you're trying to spend quality time with someone you love very much, and you check your phone instead of being fully present, well, now it's moving you towards distraction. And as bad as those external triggers sound, they're actually nowhere near as bad as what we're going to talk about next, which are the internal triggers, the greater source of distraction in our lives.
Nice job. All right. Nearandfar.com, NIR, near, like his name, Nir Eyal. Nearandfar.com, and his new book out, How to Control Your Attention and Choose Your Life. The other book, by the way, which I want to talk about too, is How to Build Habit-Forming Products. I think that is hooked. How to Build Habit-Forming Products. A whole nother show, I think. Oh my gosh, what are we going to do? We'll take a break and come back and talk more. It is Entrepreneur Week.
When the sun goes down, you can make it.
Well, you're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly, and I'm playing this music on purpose because sometimes I feel like a Neanderthal. And the idea here with our guest right now, Nir Eyal, is how can we control ourselves? The music in the background is distracting, but I can keep right on going because I have honed my skill. But the question is, how can you keep from being distracted? And how can you control your attention and choose your life? That's what we're talking about. He's doing a great job, by the way. And I love your story. I love the fact that that moment, that aha moment, was where you realized you were doing a poor job at being a dad. Those are the most impactful moments of our lives. And look what came out of it, this book. So two things, you know, I hope your daughter's okay, because that's a trauma, but
she's fine. I hope she's fine. I'll tell you in 20 years, but I think she's okay.
Right. They bounce back pretty good. But all right. So you were in the middle of something. Thank you for letting me take a break. Come back to that point if you can. I can't remember. I was distracted by a commercial break.
No problem. Yeah. So we talked about the external triggers, and this is what many people think about when they think about tech distractions, you know, the pings, dings, rings, and things that take you off track, right? But that's kindergarten stuff. The real source of distraction are the internal triggers. You see, if we're going to answer this question of why do we do things against our better interest, why do we get distracted, we have to ask ourselves first, why do we do anything? Let's really start from first principles here. What's the basis of human motivation? The basis of human motivation, most people will tell you, is some version of carrots and sticks, the pursuit of pleasure, the avoidance of pain. Turns out, however, that ain't true. This is called Freud's pleasure principle, and it hasn't stood the scientific rigor. In fact, we know that from a neurological basis, all behavior is prompted by one thing. It's not the pursuit of pleasure and the avoidance of pain. It's, in fact, all about pain. That everything we do is done out of a desire to escape discomfort. Ooh. Even seeking pleasurable feelings, right? Even seeking something that feels good is itself psychologically destabilizing. Wanting, craving, there's a reason we say love hurts, right? Because all of these things, in fact, the way the body gets us to act is through these kind of uncomfortable sensations. If you're feeling lonely, you check Facebook. If you're uncertain, you Google. If you're bored, you check sports scores, Reddit, so stock prices, the news. All of these things cater to uncomfortable feelings. So what this means is, if all behavior is prompted by a desire to escape discomfort, that means that time management is pain management. Mm. And I don't care what kind of life hacks or guru tips and tricks you get out there. At the end of the day, if we fundamentally don't recognize that our time management is really about pain management, we will always get distracted by something. And that's why the first step to becoming indistractable is to learn how to master these internal triggers.
I want like three tips on how do I control these internal triggers, because believe me, you have just hit the nail on the head with me. And I'm only because I'm paying attention to what's going on with my employees and friends around me. And you're right. Time management is pain management. So three little things would be helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. So the three things, it's funny you say three, because that's exactly how many there are in my book. The three ways.
And I want a copy of that book, by the way.
Okay, the three ways that you can master these internal triggers is to, number one, reimagine the trigger. Number two, reimagine the task. And number three, reimagine your temperament. So big picture, what we have to do here is either fix the source of the discomfort, figure out what is causing this pain in our life. That's the big picture option. Or if we can't fix the source of discomfort, we have to find tactics to cope with that pain in a more healthy fashion so that it leads us to traction as opposed to distraction. So reimagining the trigger. This is all about understanding what is that driver. And for a lot of people out there, particularly hard-charging entrepreneurs, we don't want to think about the icky, sticky truth that we are using our devices, even work itself, to escape uncomfortable feelings. But I'm telling you, if we don't have a way to cope with that discomfort, if we don't have a way to deal with that itch, that urge to check because we're looking to escape anxiety, boredom, stress, fatigue, loneliness, whatever it is that we're looking to escape inside of us, then we cannot do our best work. So that's the first step, is to reimagine these internal triggers. And there's a bunch of techniques that I cite from what's called acceptance and commitment therapy for how to do that. I make it very, very, very practical. The next step is to reimagine the task. So there are ways that we can actually turn dull, boring tasks into something that's not quite enjoyable but can be playful. And a lot of people think, oh, okay, this is Mary Poppins stuff. I've heard of this. Add a spoonful of sugar. That's not how you do it at all. In fact, what we find is we can yield much better results not through what's called an extrinsic reward, the spoonful of sugar kind of tactic that turns out doesn't actually yield our best work. It actually squashes creativity, studies have found. But instead, what we want to do is to focus more intently on the task, find the variability and uncertainty of the task, and get into it more in order to find the play in that task. And then finally, we have to reimagine our temperament.
Yeah, I'm going to have to reimagine your temperament on the other side. And I also want to ask you, if sleeping with our phone next to our bed is ruining our sex life, I think you wrote something about this. We're talking to Nir Eyal, nearandfar.com. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. You entrepreneurs really need to listen up. Are you paying too much for business insurance? Do you have critical gaps in your coverage? Entrepreneur Insurance can help you find out. In 6 out of 10 policies, business owners are paying too much for property, general liability, or workers' comp insurance. Entrepreneur Insurance can help you identify ways to save and any gaps in coverage. Head to entrepreneur.com/insurance to complete the questionnaire and get a personalized quote. It's an easy way to find out if you're paying too much. Again, that's entrepreneur.com/insurance.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Whew, man, my brain is still kind of smoking. Nir Eyal's on the line with us, and he's the author of Indestructible, How to Control Your Attention and Choose Your Life. He's also got another book out there, Hooked, How to Build Habit-Forming Products. I'm going to have you on again, and we're going to have to talk about that book, too. But I want you to finish that thought, because this is all very interesting, but I'm more interested in the having the phone next to the bed ruining my sex life, because I see some little notes here that this is good. Kind of sad, but so true and good, but continue on.
Yeah, you know, I feel close to you. I feel like I could get a little vulnerable here. So let's dive straight into it. Let's talk about my sex life, okay? I've been married for almost 20 years, but a few years ago, my wife and I noticed that we had a problem, that we just were not being intimate with each other. And the reason was is because every night we would go to bed and she would fondle her iPad and I would caress my iPhone, and we weren't being intimate with each other. We were playing with our devices. And so I realized this had to stop. This was another way that I thought, you know, here we're getting distracted. We weren't getting to bed on time. We weren't being intimate. because of these distractions. So we use the four-part indistractable model. You know, we talked about how you have to master the internal triggers, how you have to make time for traction, how you have to hack back the external triggers, and then prevent distraction with PACs. And so here's how we did it. This is one technique that was super effective. We made this pre-commitment. We made a pact in advance. Here's what we did. We went to the hardware store and we got ourselves a $5 outlet timer. Now, this timer turns off anything you plug into it at a set time of day or night. So 10 p.m. every night in my household, the internet router shuts off. So what does that mean? So that means that we made a pact, a pre-commitment with ourselves, that at 10 p.m. the devices are all off, the screens are down, and we can do what we really want to do, which is to be intimate and then go to sleep.
Let's talk about where this started before we're done here. Children and our kids.
Yeah.
Can you tie this all together about the relationship that actually started the journey for this book with all these distractions and things and these devices and all that? So help me out on that one.
This is a project for myself as much for anyone who's reading this. I mean, I was patient zero, and it was very important to me because I have an 11-year-old little girl, and I'm very concerned about the role technology is going to play in her life. And what I learned was is that it's much deeper than our technology. The technology is just the proximal cause, not the root cause. And what I learned was the best thing that I could do for my daughter in terms of raising the kind of person who can manage distraction of all sorts. And look, the fact is, if you think the world is distracting now, just wait a few years. It's going to become even more distracting with new technologies.
Right.
And so the skill I wanted to give my daughter was the power to be indistractable. And so she knows these four techniques. But the best thing that you can do as a parent is to become indistractable yourself. Because kids can smell hypocrisy a mile away. And so you can't tell your kid to get off Fortnite while you're on your phone checking email. So the best thing you can do for your kid to teach them how to be indistractable themselves is to learn how to be indistractable and be a great role model yourself.
This is all good stuff, man. Can you give a pitch for the book Hooked?
Sure.
How to Build Habit-Forming Products real quick?
Yeah, so Hooked is about how we can use these same techniques that the gaming companies and the social media networks use to make their products so sticky and habit-forming. How can entrepreneurs out there use those same techniques to build habits with their customers? And so I do this deep dive into the psychology of how these products are built so that any one of us building SaaS software or an app to help people exercise more or save money or whatever business you're in, how can we use those same principles for good to help our customers build healthy habits with our products?
So these are like bookends, these two.
These two
are like, I mean, it seems like you did all that research. And then after you realized how people are getting hooked, you're like, my God, I am hooked myself.
Now well, here's the thing. There's so many gurus and experts out there who say, well, stop using your devices, stop using your social media. And then they don't have a social media account themselves. Well, come on. You know, that's not reality for a lot of people. We need email. We need group chat. We need these devices because that's our livelihood, right? And they can give us amazing superpowers. So the idea here is who better to help guide you about how to get the best of these technologies without letting them get the best of us than somebody who understands how these products are built from the inside.
I love it, man. I think you've done a fantastic job here today. I cannot wait to get the signed copy that says, to Alan Taylor, the best talk show host I've ever experienced. Can you put that
in
there?
I got it right here for you.
Okay. Nearyal, it's N-I-R-E-Y-A-L, but his website, nearandfar.com. Just before I go, I want to ask this one question. Are you a coffee connoisseur like I am? Well, then I want to tell you about the ultimate coffee machine, the Jura ENA-8. This sexy one-cup machine is like a high-end precision watch, and I love watches. And it literally delivers the best freshly ground, freshly extracted cup of coffee every time that is delicious. And I mean every time. I've had one for like 8 years now. Again, it's the new Jura ENA-8. Do yourself a favor and research it at Jura.com. And if not for yourself, make it the ultimate gift for a loved one this holiday season. Jura.com. Simply amazing. I'm Alan Taylor for Entrepreneur Weekly. We'll see you next time, same channel, right here on Entrepreneur Weekly.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.